Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler, and today I am joined by Christ Fellowship Senior Pastor Bruce Miller. Last Sunday, on October 22nd, Bruce made a big announcement. That's why your podcast is late this week. We wanted to hold it until he had a chance to tell people in person. We're going to talk about this big announcement and what it means for the future of Christ Fellowship next. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm here with Bruce.
Delighted to be back again.
Yes, and this is a special episode. We are not doing money this week. You want to take a break?
I love actually the title, Money with a Mission. I think that's just kind of cool because it unites finances and mission, which is all what the scripture talks about. And so it's kind of fun. But we're going to take a break this week.
We're going to do a special thing. And now people know why. Last week we had to be kind of cagey about it. But you made a big announcement on Sunday. And that's why we held the podcast. I'm sorry if you looked on Thursday morning and were confused about not having the podcast. We decided to wait because I thought it would be good for us to address it with Bruce and talk a little bit about the announcement.
Sure.
So you told people, for in case you haven't heard, that you will be transitioning to a different role. You will no longer be senior pastor of Christ Fellowship starting next fallish.
Roughly a year from now.
And this was something that you feel concretely led by God to do.
I really do. Only the second time in my life close to a voice. Not exactly a voice, but the first was to start the church almost 30 years ago, and then this one, and actually just this morning, I relooked at my journals to say, you know what, is that really what I heard and thought, you know?
In 1990?
Well, no, I went back to just a year ago.
Oh, just a year ago, not when
because
you started the
church. Because you remember it, but it's a year ago.
Right, sure.
And I'm one of those people who journals my prayers to God, so I write, I don't write, I type, but
yes.
I'm typing my prayers to God. So I went back and found the days where I woke up at 2:30 in the morning, and what did I write at night when I was awake? And it was just what I've been saying. You've completed the role of senior pastor, you're finished, and write. And so it was just kind of confirming to go back and go, yeah, that is exactly what I heard from God. And as I reread it, there's things I had forgotten, like, God brought Psalm 23 to my mind. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
You know what the Engage God Daily is?
Psalm 23, which is, you know, kind of a little bit wild. Because Tamara and I were doing it this morning, and I said, you wouldn't believe, I just looked at my journal, and she said, maybe you should switch and preach on Psalm 23. I said, no.
I'm already in progress.
We're already on 78. But then I was singing it as well with my soul. Tamara and I both feel that way now. We feel at peace. We've felt at peace all this year. Now there's times of emotion or humanly you get tempted to fear or anxiety or something when you don't know what the future holds.
Sure.
But both of us are so confident in God, and we've seen God provide and supply and guide our entire lives.
Yeah.
And so we actually have a little sense of adventure that this is a God adventure we're on. And we know it's good, and we know God's going to be with us, even though we don't know quite what it's going to look like or feel like.
Yeah. I really admire your, like, you described how you just laid yourself out and surrender and, like, not my will, but yours be done. And Tamara said something at the leaders' meeting that I thought was so wise. She said, we know what it's like to live outside of God's will, and we don't want any part of that. So even though you may not know the future, even though there's some uncertainty, it's like, we know the best place to be is right where God wants you to be. So I think that's an encouragement for all of us, because all of us are at some point going to have to make big decisions in our life. And I get this question a lot. I'm sure you do too, is like, how do I know?
Right.
How do I know God's will? And so sometimes he does, in his mercy and grace, give you just like a word.
Right.
Maybe not audibly, not a handwriting on the wall. But you just know, that in your knower that this is what God wants you to do.
And even then you look for confirmation.
Sure, of
and
course.
For me to have confirmation from my wife,
yeah,
who knows me the best, then from our children, and then from our elders who are in authority over me. And also, I would say, I also sought wise counsel from other pastors who are older than me and have walked this road to seek their counsel, their wisdom, and some of you guys know, one of my best friends is Jeff Jones, who's a pastor at Chase Oaks. And so to have other people around me to who said, this is wise, this is good, you know, and that's a good piece. When you're looking for to make a decision that's big, it's wise to seek advice.
It is. And because people that know you and love you are going to tell you, or if you give them permission to.
That's right.
I don't think this is. Well, and I thought Tamara was also really wise to say, let's take a week or 10 days.
Right.
And not talk about it. Let's let this sit for a minute just because of that, to make sure it wasn't something that was just happening in the moment.
Yeah, it's never wise to make an impulsive decision. And I think the bigger the decision, the more it's wise to give it time.
Yeah.
Pray.
And you've had lots of time to sit on this.
I have had lots of time.
Yeah.
Tamara and I have been sitting on this for about a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm such a transparent person. I'm just what you see is what you get. And so Tamara told me last November, you're never going to keep this a secret. And because she knows me. So I had to almost to disassociate
right.
for months. And I didn't tell anyone, but that was hard for me.
Yeah.
Because.
And there were reasons why. It wasn't that you were just being secretive.
It was the right thing to do.
Right. You had to. Yeah.
It was the right timing, the appropriate timing to tell people in a right time and right. frame. But there's people I've served with so closely and my own family. I didn't tell my mom till August.
Yeah.
And that was weird.
Yeah.
But it was okay. It was the right thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was weird for me too. Because now I look back on some of our conversations in the last year and I'm like, sometimes stuff just doesn't quite add up.
Right.
And now I go,
oh, that's what that was.
That's why that didn't quite make sense. Okay. So you said God called you to write. That's what, but beyond that, you don't have you're going to be founding pastor.
Yeah. What I know for sure is that I'm going to be the founding pastor, which I'm really excited about. Yeah. And that'll be being a pastor here at Christ Fellowship, but with no organizational responsibilities or not the weight of leading everything. And I'm excited about that, what that's going to be. And then to write, and I have so many ideas. You know, at least I'm an idea junkie. It's a scary number of books. I really actually have that I would love to write.
Outlines for, or vague ideas
like,
for?
Like 20, 30, 40.
Yeah.
That I have ideas for or outlines, or I have sermon series I've done that have been sort of the favorites over the last 25 years, and to turn those into books. And so, yeah, I have all kind of, I could write full time for a long time. And
that's awesome. Well, and who knows what God has for you?
Yeah, and there may be something else. And we're wide open, hands open. Okay, Lord, whatever that might be, and that might be something more ministry oriented. It might be our family with all our big family with 5 kids and 9 grandkids. Somebody may need us.
Yeah.
And we're just wide open to whatever the Lord has, with that sense of not fear or dread or worry, but a sense of excitement and adventure.
And anticipation.
Because we know God's with us and it's good and he's good.
Yeah. Amen. So that's good for you. What about the church?
Yeah. Tamara also said to in our leader meeting so wisely, if Bruce has God has good things for Bruce, he says great things for Christ Fellowship.
That's right.
And Tamara and I really believe that. And so I'm excited for who God brings next. And Tamara and I are eager to be the number one cheerleaders of the new pastor. He'll be our pastor. And we're looking forward to that. And I look look back at Gene Getz as a model for me all these years later.
You're going to talk about him some in your sermon.
And he stayed after he passed the baton to Jeff Jones. And Jeff Jones stood on Gene's shoulders and all the legacy, all the foundation Gene built, and he took Chase Oaks Church to new places that Gene had never taken it,
right.
and to reach new generations of people and a diversity of people. And Gene has been there cheering him on, thrilled, praising God as he sees God use Jeff to take the church in new places and new ways to reach new people for Christ. And I'm looking forward to the same. To be cheering on what God does through the new leader, and I'll be thrilled to see what God does.
Yeah, God is faithful through the generations, and he loves this church and the people of this church even more than you do, and even more than I do, which is a lot.
That's right. And Tamara and I recently had, as I've said on this podcast, our 40th anniversary, and we were in Europe for part of that time. And saw churches that are 1,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And it just reminded me of that vision that the church has been lasting for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
And I have my season of about 27 years as senior pastor, but But I hope Christ's fellowship lasts for literally generations, hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And it can. And so we want to not only serve well in our generation, but we want to invest in the next generation and pass the baton to them, not just me, but children's ministry, student ministry, women's ministry, every life group. Each of us is only serving in our generation, and we don't want it to stop with us. We want to raise up the next leaders, the next servants, the next generation to yeah. serve in the next generation.
Yeah. And really, it's so important, and this can't be overemphasized, because people love you, and you've been a great pastor, and you've been a great preacher, but you are not Christ Fellowship.
That's right.
And we, the church, is Christ Fellowship. It's, you've said this for years and years, that you are the church. The people are the
That's
church.
That's right.
And it's not a building, and it's not an organization. It is a building, and it is an organization, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah.
And it's the Holy Spirit gifts individuals in our body. And that's the church.
That's right. That's the body of Christ. We have a building.
We have formed an organization. Yeah.
But it's the people that are the church. And occasionally over the years, sometimes I get frustrated when someone says, well, Bruce, your church or Bruce's church.
Yeah.
But, oh, no. It's Christ's church. And yeah. it's your church. It is my church in that I'm a member of the church. And all of us have a role to play. And I've played my role as senior pastor with all my heart. And I'm going to play my role as founding pastor with all my heart. And I hope each of you listening that you play your part with all your heart.
Right. Because we need everybody.
That's right.
And I think too often, those of us sitting in the seats, we forget that we are an essential part of this local body of Christ. And that I just always think if everybody was invested and doing whatever God has gifted them to do and using those gifts to nourish this body and to have this body function better, how many people could we reach for Christ?
It's kind of been neat for me in some personal conversations as I've shared with some leaders personally yeah. about what's happening in my decision and where Christ Fellowship's going, and have challenged them to say, hey, we need you to step up yeah. and serve and lead and give at the same level or higher. And I've seen people sort of sit up in their seat. And actually, one leader said, you know, I'm not sure we might be winding down our life group, but not now.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to reinvigorate it. And
I was going to ask you, you have had private conversations with a lot of people,
yes.
people that have been here a long time that
yes.
you felt you needed to talk to one-on-one. What has been the response? And then we just told the leaders last Sunday.
Yeah, such sweet conversations and such rich ministry with people that I've known and loved for years. And often the response was shock.
Yeah.
Followed by, I'm happy for you, Bruce, followed by, you know what, Christ Fellowship is going to be fine.
Yeah.
And you know what, our church is strong. And, you know, some people, you know, one, yes, thankful for my ministry and saying appreciative words, which I am grateful for.
Sure.
For the difference I've made in someone's life. But at the same time, you know what, we're involved in Christ Fellowship beyond you, Bruce.
Yeah.
And we're here and we're involved. Our kids are involved in students and we've got kids doing stuff and kids are in kids choir. And, you know, the strength of the church when you're involved as a family and you're in regeneration and you're in a Bible study and you're doing digging deeper and you're serving and with some of our community partners with Hope Women's Center or Samaritan Inn, and you're going on a mission trip and you bond with those people on a trip to mm-hmm. Prague or Mexico. I mean, this is the church, and
yeah.
the depth of it and the richness of it
yeah.
is really strong. And so I've been encouraged
yeah.
by people's faith, mm-hmm. their commitment to Christ, and this sense of re-remembering, oh, that's right, we are the church.
Yeah.
And we do need to play our role and play it really well. And maybe I have been or haven't been, or I've slipped a little. You know, one person said, well, actually, Bruce, I've been a leader of a lot of stuff. I'm actually not leading anything right now. Like kind of a confession. And I have been serving, but I'm kind of taking a break. Something ended and I haven't started something yet. In that sense of, and you know what? I need to. Like,
yeah, we need you. We need all of you.
I've seen so many people who say they want to take a break. And there's nothing wrong with taking a break.
Sometimes,
but boy, the danger is that the break goes on a long time.
Yeah, it's a 5-year break.
Yes. And yeah. I've heard people say to me with regret, you know, I took a break, and for very good reasons.
Sure.
Literally.
Health reasons, family reasons.
A death in the family.
Job situations, yeah.
But then never quite got back.
Yeah.
and the regret of, you know what, I've wasted the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. Like, I haven't really done something for Christ, and I could, and I should, and I've got the maturity, and I could find the time, and that old thought of, well, I'm just not sure where I should serve. It's like, no, go do something. Come on, get involved.
It's so rewarding. You always end up getting more than you give when you serve.
And we need everybody.
We need, again, when Jesus and Paul and they use this metaphor of the body that I think we take for granted sometimes because we've heard it so much.
Right.
But that's a powerful metaphor of what the church is. And you think about even those of you who've had health issues. I mean, even like you break a toe. It's like you think, my pinky toe's not that big of a deal.
But then it is.
But then it is. So we really do need everybody as part of the body. And so, and I feel like the way you described you and Tamara's attitude towards the future is the same attitude we should have, which is expectation and anticipation for the adventure we're on and for where God's going to take us next.
Yeah, Christ Fellowship is the strongest it's been in our history since we were this size. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're just going to build on this foundation. And we have this huge, strong body of Christ here now. God's going to bring somebody new, different than me, younger than me, and they're going to reach new people I didn't reach, people of different kinds and sorts. And if we can add them to the team that's already here, then look what God's going to do. And we see increasing diversity in our community. One of the things the elders have done is some fresh demographic research in our community for what does our community need?
Yeah, exactly.
Looking for and looking at school district research and the city research. And part of that is that our community is getting more diverse.
Mm-hmm. And McKinney has grown.
Since, oh, yeah.
Think about when Christ Fellowship started and was like, what, 60,000 people in McKinney, and now there's 211 last time I saw this
line. It was actually 30-some-odd thousand when we started. So it is 7 times bigger.
Yeah.
Than when we started.
That's great. And that's just McKinney. That's right. Not counting Princeton and, you know, Melissa and parts of Frisco and
Years ago, we did a little look through the database and there were 40 cities.
Yeah.
Now that's just a handful of people from Sherman and Dallas and here and there. But really all the cities you named, Princeton and
Allen,
Melissa and on.
Plano. Yeah. And I mean, our community continues to grow and we have a new generation coming up, and we talk about them a lot on this podcast because I have a huge heart for them.
Sure.
We both have kids in that generation.
That's right.
And I want the church to meet their needs, and I want it to represent them.
That's right.
I see some really cool things, that's such a dated word.
That's why we need a new generation.
Need a new generation. My son, I can't even understand what he says half the time.
Right.
But yes, I see some really exciting things in the new generation.
There are some revivals that you may have heard of at Christian colleges, even in the last year or two. Mm-hmm. And there is something that God seems to be stirring up among teenagers and early 20s that's a fresh work of God that I'm excited about. And I think bodes well for the future, for the people that God's raising up to make a big difference in this world.
Yeah. Amen. So let's talk next steps real quick. And a lot of this will be outlined if you, we have a landing page now.
Right.
That on our website that will
there's frequently asked questions there.
Frequently asked questions there. If there's a question you have, that'd be a good place to look. Our elders have been so gracious and with their time and their transparency.
And they're available. They want to
hear from you. If you have questions for them.
Questions, input, yeah.
The pastors here, myself included, are happy to talk. Because, you know, as you and I have discussed, some people this is news is going to be like, oh, okay.
Right.
But other people, this will be maybe a little anxiety
producing. Listen, I've cried. I've had people cry with me.
I cried like a baby when you told me. I'm not even gonna hide it.
I wasn't gonna out you. I was just gonna let that be. But you know, and then I've had people not shed a tear.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
Everyone responds differently. Yeah. And you take them to God, and you talk to people that you respect that are mature that can help you process whatever the feelings are.
Yeah. And we're here for you. So let's talk next steps. I think this is not your 2-week notice.
No,
you're not out of here in like by mid-November or anything. I mean, you said it's going to be roughly a year,
right?
And so we'll still have Christmas with Bruce and Easter with Bruce and Mother's Day. And
there's lots of tenderness around that, is that, I mean, the team, you wouldn't be surprised, has already said, Lisa, well, Bruce, we want this Christmas to be really special. And I mean, I love Will and Crystal. And they said, Bruce, what are your favorite Christmas songs?
Yeah.
And I think there's, I feel that love. And sometimes I want to not think about it being the last Christmas as senior pastor, because I'll have many Christmases at Christ Fellowship to come, sure, but not as senior pastor. And then other times I think, no, I really am. Christmas Eve will be really special, really sweet.
Yeah.
But frankly, one of the most important thing everyone can do is something so obvious, and we all say it, but we don't really do it, which is that four-letter P word,
yes,
pray. And I find that throughout people's Christian life, apart from like prayers when you're in trouble and prayers for a meal and kind of a quick prayer for the day, to really pray, mm-hmm, and pray for Christ's fellowship, because it's easy to pray for yourself and your family and immediate needs around you, mm-hmm, and crises. But we can forget to pray for the church. Mm-hmm. And if that's you, hey, Grace, yeah, I get it.
No shame, because it's yeah, happened to all of us.
But we're asking every person in Christ Fellowship to pray every day,
yeah,
for the church. And that might be 1 minute, might be 2 minutes, but really every day, 7 days a week, pray for Christ Fellowship, for wisdom, for discernment, for unity, for us to reach, help many more people find and follow Christ locally and globally.
And for your part.
Yeah, for your part. Pray, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
How do you want me to serve? How do you want me to give? How do you want me to pray?
Yeah.
How can I make a difference?
Yeah, that's great. And I feel like this is an opportunity for us. Like any kind of change in your life as a person, there's an opportunity that comes with change, right? And you can embrace the change and you can see, what does God have for me in this? And how am I going to grow through this? What am I going to learn about God through this? Or you can take a more destructive approach to change. And I feel like that's true for an organization, a church as well.
Yeah.
Like we can go through this and we can do it in a really healthy way. You can pass the baton. We can rally around the new person and we can grow. And we can grow our faith through this.
That's right.
And we can. I fully expect for us next October to be sitting here and say, oh my gosh, can you believe what God did?
Me too.
Like, can you believe how strong the church is? Can you believe how well this has gone? Can you believe all that God has done? And so I think that has to be our posture of expectation.
And we're looking
forward,
even farther forward, as elders, the consultant we're working with said, okay, 3 years after Bruce passes the baton, what will you look for markers of success? Mm-hmm. And we started writing them down, which started us then envisioning, oh, that'll be 4 years from now. Mm-hmm. Imagine, I'm hoping we'll sit here, maybe you'll invite me back to be a guest, and we'll say, oh my goodness, 3 years later, look what God has done. Who could have ever imagined?
Yes.
And there will be miracle story after miracle story of people's lives that were changed and baptized and new people reached for Christ in our community and new missions around the world and new churches that we plant. And
yeah,
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I mean, God is so much He's so much bigger and so much, like, he's so good.
Well,
and we just don't, I don't know that we always appreciate all that he's willing to do and wanting to do in and through
us. I don't think so either. In fact, the line that God kind of took me to as I thought about and think today about the future of Christ Fellowship is out of John 14. And Jesus is leaving and he's trying to assure his disciples, because he's leaving and I'm not Jesus, but.
and you're not really leaving.
No, I'm not really leaving, but he's comforting them.
Yeah.
And he says something so surprising. He tells them this Holy Spirit's coming, which is amazing. But then he says, you're going to do greater things. And you go, wait a minute. And it's puzzled commentators, because they think, wait a minute, you can't do greater things than Jesus.
Raised Lazarus from the
dead. Come on.
I mean, you know, fed the 5,000.
And the thought that most people have as they've pondered that is, but Jesus never wrote a book. Jesus never traveled more than like 30, 50 miles from his home. And it's the disciples that took the gospel all around the world.
Yeah.
And so Jesus used them. Jesus didn't start a church. He didn't write a book. He didn't start a school. But his followers have done all of that. And he literally said, greater things you will do. So that little two-word phrase, greater things, has been echoing in my mind for Christ Fellowship, mm-hmm, that God has greater things for us as a church.
Yeah, amen. I believe it. I really do. So you preached, since this is now, it's very difficult because this is a present Lisa thinking about future Lisa, who's now thinking about past things. Did you follow that? It's like Loki. It's a time travel.
This is a sci-fi episode.
But no, yesterday to our viewers, our listeners, you preached Psalm 78. So you knew this announcement was coming, and that is the psalm you chose to preach. Why?
Because I'm so aware that we've got to invest in the next generation.
Yeah.
Because I'm now passing my baton to the next generation. I've always thought of myself as a Joshua, a Timothy, and it's weird to flip and see myself as a Moses or a Paul. And that now I'm passing the baton to a new Joshua, to new Timothys. And I realized we've all got to be thinking that way, mm-hmm. starting with our children, mm-hmm. in our homes. Of course, our whole focus this year is bring the vision home, that we need to be having meaningful conversations in our home, teaching our kids the scripture, telling them the stories of what God has done in the scripture and the stories of what God has done in our own lives and the miracles and the things he's done, answered prayers, and how important it is that we are investing in the next generation in our homes and in the church.
Yeah.
And it's also raising up the next generation of leaders when you think of Joshua and Timothy and more Elijah,
yeah.
So on, David's son Solomon. So when you think about your service in the church, if you're serving, maybe you're serving in Promised Land or students or wherever you're serving, who are you raising up? Mm. Who's your Timothy? Who are you bringing with you to teach second graders? Mm-hmm. Or be a greeter at the door or teach a Bible study? Who could be your apprentice or your Timothy that you're helping raise up that now they could lead a Bible study? They could be the greeter at the door. They could teach the third grade girls. They could be a leader in regen, reengage, all the things. And it's not only serving, it's raising up the next generation of servants and leaders. And for me and Tamara, we sit up there in the front of the worship center, if you see us, and we've looked back in these last weeks some and just scanned the congregation mm-hmm. with such pride.
Yeah.
And I'm getting emotional now just thinking about it. But Tamara said, Bruce, she was whispering to me, you know, we're just singing the last song. And she said, I just feel like such a proud mom or grandmom. She said, look, there's people, you know, church is 27 years old, so age some people 27 years younger. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, these people who are leading in multiple ministries in our church were kids. Mm-hmm. They were in middle school, high school. And the joy for me of having literally babies I prayed for in the womb, dedicated the baby, baptized the child, then did a wedding. And now they have come back, and I have dedicated their children.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The richness of that. So Psalm 78, the big line is, we will tell the next generation. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the line we all need to think about, is we will tell the next generation. And yes, we're looking for the next generation right past me of senior pastor, but
it's more than that.
More than that. There's a whole next generation ahead of us, whoever you are, whatever your age is. There's a next generation behind you mm-hmm. to pass the baton to the next generation.
I think about in the Old Testament how God frequently told them to like set up stone monuments right. of time so that when people walked by and they'd go, what is that for? Why is that there? And then someone tells the story of what God did on that in that moment.
Psalm 78 literally says, if we do tell the next generation, they will remember in a deep way. Yeah. And if we don't, they'll forget.
Yeah.
They'll forget God. And the church is always one generation away from extinction.
That's true.
It could die with us. And there are churches that do die mm-hmm. because that particular local church didn't pass on to the next generation. And eventually, all the church members got into their 50s and 60s and 70s, and there were no children, and so they didn't have a children's ministry. Yeah. Some of you know these stories. Some of you mm-hmm. have seen your parents or grandparents live that, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
Tamara, one of her way she serves now. One of her favorite ways to serve is the nursery. I call her
the babies.
I call her the baby whisperer.
Yes.
She takes the child that's crying the most, and she can calm them down. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But she said, I am seeing, Bruce, so many new babies. Yeah. So many new families. And it's so healthy to see all this new life coming into our church. And kids of every ethnicity and diversity, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what we want. So Yeah, we're one generation. Who are we pouring into? I think that's
right.
the go-do for all of us is to really think about that. And for those of you who don't have biological children or children in your home, there's still children in your sphere or young people in your sphere. There's a young coworker.
That's right. There's a next generation.
There is a niece and nephew. There is someone in the next generation.
That's right.
And I think sometimes and there's just a temptation, right? The sort of curmudgeonly old person right. is a stereotype for a reason, because they seem, first of all, irritated by everybody, impatient with everybody, and just sort of done. And let's not be that.
We need your wisdom.
Yes.
If you're older and listening to this, we need your wisdom. We need your experience. And it's not time to check out.
No.
It's time to check in. And there are younger people who would love your mentoring.
Yes. And we see this in Moms Connection all the time.
Yeah.
We see mentor moms sitting across from young moms, and they are hungry. They want someone who will be present with them
That's right.
they go through the difficulties
of
motherhood.
Right.
And so, Yeah.
And no, it's so easy to think, well, I'm older, or think, well, gosh, Bruce, I guess if you think you're too old to be the pastor, maybe I'm too old to do my ministry. Oh, no, I'm going to be the founding pastor, and I'm going to minister with all my heart.
Oh, you know, Bruce will be teaching classes.
We do not need you to check out.
No.
No matter what your age is, I'm inspired by my mom. My mom is 87, and she just led her latest Bible study at Hidden Springs, her independent living place.
And she's taking digging deeper. Like, she's 87. You would think she would be like, I know the Bible. I don't need to take any other classes.
And she's there every Thursday
night.
She's loving it.
Yeah.
And so if you're 87 and on a walker, see if you can outdo my mom.
That's right. Well, and I think for women in particular, what's kind of cool is women, a lot of times, they spend time raising their family and their kids go off. And we get like this second wind. I'm about to be an empty nester.
Yes.
A couple of years left with my youngest, but I'm already sort of thinking about now I have,
That's right.
I have my weekends back. I have time back. I have time to read. I have time to study. I have time to meet with people.
That's right.
And I mean, that's my thing. That's what I love to do. And how could God use me?
And I love that, because I see empty nesters check out and say, you know what? I've led the Bible study. I did the life
tired.
Group. I did all the kid and student ministries. I'm tired. I'm out of that. I've done my time.
Yeah.
And now we've got a second home somewhere at the lake, or we're going to be out and about doing this and that and staying home. And it makes me so sad.
Yeah.
It's such a poor choice. Not that you can't travel and
you
go to the lake and do your
yes,
thing.
Yes, enjoy your retirement
but,
by all means.
Oh my
but
goodness, you have time and experience.
And wisdom. You've learned some stuff, sometimes the hard way.
Yeah. And
help somebody else not have to learn it the hard
way.
That's
right. Go make a difference for Christ.
Amen. All right, sir. Well, I'm going to pray for you.
That'd be great. I'd appreciate it.
Father God, thank you for my brother. Thank you for how you have worked in his life. Thank you for all that you have given him, the gifts that you've given him. And thank you that he was faithful and that he poured out himself in this church and to these people. We are grateful, most of all to you, God, for the way you move and the way you work. And Lord, we just entrust Christ Fellowship to you. We know that you love this church and you love these people. And there are so many people out there who need you, God. Let us be that city on a hill. Let us be the salt and the light that our community needs. So, Father, we're excited. We're waiting for what you're going to do, and we can't wait to see it. You are such a good God. It's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.